Welcome to the Workplace Minute, powered by H3HR Advisors and sponsored by Paychex and also sponsored by WorkHuman. My name is Steve Bowes. How less flexibility at work means more work for women. 5 years ago, when the COVID pandemic forced most non-essential workers to stay home, American workers and their families were swiftly forced to reorganize their lives. Suddenly, families found they had no childcare, no in-person school and school activities, and no support system to help them navigate an unprecedented period. But just as unexpectedly, working parents and caregivers whose jobs could be performed remotely had something new and beneficial: the ability to work from home. For many working mothers who could take advantage of remote work, after an initial adjustment period, remote work quickly became indispensable. Once their kids went back to daycare or school, the flexibility of working from home often meant they could better juggle the many demands of their time, including the disproportionate amount of housework that women continue to perform compared to their male partners. Now, more and more CEOs and business leaders, and even the President of the United States, are determined to roll back workplace flexibility. In January, President Trump declared that government employees would be required to return to their workplaces. Last month, in a company town hall, J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon offered a profanity-laced explanation for why his employees had to work 5 days a week in person again. Amazon and AT&T, among other companies, have also called employees back to the office mostly full-time. Proponents say working in person full-time will boost productivity, improve collaboration, and strengthen company culture. But workplace experts note that women workers will pay a higher price. According to the Institute for Women's Policy Research, by 2023, women had finally rejoined the workforce at the same rate as men prior to the pandemic. But it took them 11 months longer than it took men to reach that milestone. Women didn't achieve their pre-pandemic employment level until all childcare jobs had been recovered. Now, 5 years from the onset of the pandemic and the rapid rise of remote working, it appears that many women rely on remote work to succeed at home and in their professional roles. CNBC's annual Women at Work survey recently found that about a quarter of respondents said their work-life balance had improved over the last year, and they attributed that change primarily to having more flexibility in their work. And flexible working advocates note that the push to end flexible work reflects, in part, the point of view of high-powered executives, many of whom are men, who can hire people to manage their own households and personal responsibilities, or who can delegate those tasks to a stay-at-home wife or partner. Rather than spending the majority of their workday in focused individual work, their days are often filled with meetings that they may prefer to be happening in person. And these executives are all mostly Gen Xers or baby boomers, who came up in the corporate world during an era where remote working was simply not possible and only rarely done. Thus, they equate learning and success in the corporate world, due at least in part, to working in person. As a result, what executives think work can and should look like often varies significantly from their employees' needs and how they can best achieve productivity. And in addition to the disconnect between the lived work experiences of leaders and the majority of their workers, there's also little said about the practical reality of ending remote work, particularly for women. Reporting back to the office full-time doesn't mean that home and community responsibilities suddenly disappear. There are still kids who need to be picked up from after-school care, dogs that need walking, errands that need to be run, doctor's appointments that can't be missed, and so on. And these tasks continue to disproportionately be covered by women. In remote and flexible working schemes, women could previously use time spent commuting on some of these tasks, but now workers are back in their cars or on riding public transport, sometimes for hours each day. And when flexibility vanishes, the answer for parents is often to consume more childcare. And that only puts additional pressure on households to earn even more to afford additional care, while also creating fresh tension for mothers who feel spread thin. Experts note that it is rare to hear corporate leaders publicly acknowledge these pressures, even as their insistence on in-person work could actually diminish productivity and engagement by increasing the stress and exhaustion of their workers. And many women are reacting to return-to-office edicts by seeking more flexibility elsewhere. More than 1 in 5 women surveyed by CNBC said they'd seriously consider quitting in recent months to reduce work stress and find a higher-paying job. And of the 8% of women who did quit, they cited improved work-life balance as the chief factor in their decision. Decreased flexibility may also simply force women to step away from their jobs completely, just as they did during COVID. Despite the emphasis for many organizations on getting people back to the office full-time, for others, offering flexible work options continues to be a no-brainer because they recognize that women are essential to the American workforce. In other words, alienating women is no strategy for a company's financial success and its ability to recruit and retain the best talent. 5 years from the start of the pandemic, and the working world is still dealing with the ongoing fallout from that era. Even while many organizations try to drag their workforces back to the time before COVID, and when work was largely meant to be a place, not just an activity. That's it for the show today. We will continue to follow this and all the important topics and trends in the world of work here on the HR Happy Hour Media Network. This has been Steve Bose for the Workplace Minute, powered by H3 HR Advisors.